And now, beloved, I want to spend some time addressing you from the Scriptures as your pastor, bringing the Word of God to you on this day. Our sermon text for this Lord's Day, March 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2020, is found in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is the very beginning of James's letter to the church. He is written to believers at a time of profound suffering. That is the context in which James writes. Listen now once more to God's holy and inerrant word. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Thus far, the reading of God's word. It is absolutely true, and it is given to you because your Father in heaven loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts would be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And I ask this through our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Beloved, this morning, as we gather in our homes, separated once more from one another, it is right for us to name and to acknowledge this common experience we are all sharing together. What we are experiencing right now is a trial, a substantial trial, and it involves real suffering. True, it may not compare directly to the suffering experienced by the first generation of Christians that James writes to in this letter, those who were ruthlessly persecuted by the Jewish leaders such that they were scattered across the Mediterranean world, imprisoned, beaten, even killed. Still, this moment is a trial. Still, it involves real suffering. And we must acknowledge that. Some of us have already experienced real financial loss, substantial financial loss, whether because we have already lost our jobs or because we can see the loss of our job or other financial harm creeping up right on the horizon, slowly coming for us. All of us are now threatened in new ways economically. Let us call this what it is. This is a trial. This is suffering. Some of us have already or will soon experience the loss of things that we had planned on and are precious to us. A family trip, perhaps, our senior year of school, the ability to celebrate fully the birth of a child, professional opportunities that may not come again. All these things have been taken from us. Let us call this what it is. This is a trial. This is suffering. Some of us are anxious about our health or the health of those whom we love, especially our parents or grandparents, even those who may live far from us. Let us call this what it is. This is a trial. This is suffering. All of us are now isolated in this moment from one another, unable to hug our friends, to enjoy their fellowship, their presence. All of us are presently unable to participate in public worship, unable to know that particular joy that comes from hearing God's word in person, singing with the other saints around us, receiving the Lord's Supper on our lips and feeding upon Christ in that miraculous and unique manner that is found nowhere else. all of us have given these things up. So let us call this what it is. This is a trial. This is suffering. And none of us know what the future holds. We do not know how long this will go on or how much our lives will continue to be disrupted and what new forms of suffering we may be called to embrace in the coming weeks or months. We do not know. And so let us call this what it is. This is a trial. This is suffering. But thanks be to God, the scriptures do not fail to speak to us about trials or suffering. They are not silent about these things. Our experience is not unique or unknown by the generations of the church who has gone before us. Christians throughout history who themselves have endured even greater times of uncertainty or global crisis. Beloved, we are not left without a word from God for us during this time. And here is what God says to us today through his servant, James. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That is how James begins his letter. He tells us clearly that in times of trial, in times of suffering, times like this present moment, what we are called to do before all things is to embrace joy. Now, this joy that James describes and calls us to is not giddiness, it is not lightheartedness, it is not ignorance. It does not diminish the reality of the trial or the realness of the suffering. No, the kind of joy that James talks about is the joy of faith, the confidence that the reward is greater than the cost, whatever the cost may be, the belief that God, the same God who brought about this trial, will also work in and through it to accomplish something beautiful and good. Jesus is, of course, our model for this, as he is in all things, for as the writer of the Hebrews tells us, it was for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, despising its shame. But what is God doing in all of this? Yes, we are called to joy, but why has he brought this trial, this particular form of suffering, into our lives? James tells us. He tells us that we rejoice in trials because trials bring about the testing of our faith, and the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. And when steadfastness has had its full effect, we are made perfect, mature, complete, lacking in nothing. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel that my faith is being tested right now. Every day, I'm being confronted every day with my limitations and my weaknesses. I'm being forced every day to trust God in a new manner, in a new direction, in a new way, as the things that I've previously counted on are slowly being stripped away. But it is in this testing of our faith, James says, that we learn to be steadfast. That is what he teaches us, that it is in the testing of our faith that we learn to be steadfast. And beloved, I truly believe that is what is happening now to us. That is what is now happening for our little church in the midst of this crisis. Our faith is being tested in a way that none of us could have anticipated even a month or so ago. But we are learning in the midst of that to be steadfast. We are learning to be steadfast in prayer as we gather in our homes each day. We are learning to be steadfast in the Word as we walk through our daily readings together. We are learning to be steadfast in trusting God to provide for us and take care of us as we look not only to our needs, but to the needs of others. We are learning to be steadfast in rejecting fear and embracing hope. We are learning to be steadfast in believing that whatever Jesus takes from us, he will truly from his fullness repay. We are learning to be steadfast in our love for one another. We are learning to be steadfast in our sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. Beloved, I do not know exactly what the future holds. I do not know when this will be over, or when our lives will get back to quote-unquote normal, or if they will ever be normal again in the same way. But I believe this more than anything else right now. I believe that the same God who rules and reigns over all things has brought this virus into existence. He is not surprised by it. In fact, he planned it. He brought it about. And when the right time comes, he will take it away. And he is giving us this trial as an act of love. As an act of love. So that through it, by the testing of our faith, we will be changed. So that we will indeed be conformed more and more to the image of his Son. Even as we heard from Paul in Ephesians 4 already this morning, right now we are being grown up. We are being grown up in a painful and powerful way to mature manhood, as Paul puts it, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. That, I believe, is truly what is happening before our eyes right now. It is happening in my life, and it is happening in yours as well. And it will continue to happen by God's grace in the weeks and the months to come. The sovereignty and goodness and love of God. His sovereignty, his goodness, his love. That is quite literally my only hope right now. Those are the truths that I have always preached, but they have now become precious to me in a new way in this moment. I suspect they are more precious for you as well. God's sovereignty, God's goodness, God's love. But how are we to do this? How are we to endure? How are we going to be able to be steadfast if that is what the Lord requires of us when we do not even know the road that is ahead? and what may be required for us in the days to come. Let us make no mistake. It cannot be our own strength on which we now depend. For our strength will fail. It must be the strength of God. It must be imparted to us by His Spirit. That is our only hope for steadfastness in this testing of our faith. That is our only hope of being made perfect and lacking nothing when this trial comes to an end. And in that regard, I take a great deal of comfort from our gospel reading this morning. In our gospel reading from Luke, Jesus is in Gethsemane. He is facing the greatest trial that any man has ever faced or will ever face, the trial of preparing himself to drink the cup of God's own wrath against human sin. Here is how Luke describes it. He says, "And Jesus withdrew from them," that is, from the disciples, "about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him," that is, there appeared to Jesus, "an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." In the midst of all of Jesus' turmoil, all the sweat, all the prayer, all the testing of his faith, did you hear what the Father did for his beloved Son so that he would remain steadfast in his trial? He sent an angel to strengthen him. The perfect Son of God, immeasurably strong. And yet the Father sends an angel to strengthen him in the midst of his trial. And with that strength, he pushes in more earnestly. His sweat begins to drop like blood to the ground. Beloved, do not miss this. This is the tenderness and the compassion of your Father for you right now. He knows that you will not be able to remain steadfast on your own. He knows that you will not be able to count it all joy on your own. He knows that you will not be able to endure on your own without His help. But know this, you are not on your own. Your heavenly Father, who sent an angel to strengthen His Son, He will also strengthen you. He will not leave you alone in this trial. Indeed, He will bear you up by His Spirit so that you will be able to say with the prophet Isaiah those words, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases his strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Beloved, it is by the strength of the Lord, by the strength of our God alone, that we are able to hear these words, to say them with God's servant James, and to believe them to be true. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Blessed be our God, who does not grow weary, who renews our strength, that we may remain steadfast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would be near to us. I pray that you would help us to ponder in our own hearts throughout this day and this week those words written by your servant James. We would ponder what it means for us to count it joy in our trials, to trust that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. And in all of this, Father, you are making us mature. You are growing us up in Christ. Be near to us, Father. Give us your strength. We pray it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.